This is Ben Plotinsky, managing editor of City Journal. I'm here with Max Schultz, the director of the Manhattan Institute's Center for Energy Policy and the Environment. Max has written a fascinating story for the new issue of City Journal called California's Potemkin Environmentalism. Max, welcome.
Ben, thanks for having me.
Max, the word that occurs to me whenever I read this story is myth-busting. We'll get to the busting part in a second, but let me ask you first about the myth. How does California portray its energy policy?
There's a sense which is promulgated very much by California officials and academics and business titans and whatnot that it somehow provides a great leadership example for the rest of the country when it comes to issues of energy in the environment. California has long held itself out as a real pathblazer in addressing questions of energy consumption, emissions, pollution, all these sorts of things. And so they are very proud of the fact that they have what they say is the eighth largest economy in the world, booming economy, yet they, over the last couple decades, have managed to keep their energy consumption per capita flat, whereas in the rest of the country it's grown considerably. All the while, its economy has seemed to grow and grow and grow. And there's a real sensitivity to environmental issues that it infuses public policy, and that has been the case for the last couple decades in a way that you really haven't seen in other states of the union. There's much more sensitivity to environmental concerns. So that would seem to be the myth. California, particularly in the last couple of years under Governor Schwarzenegger's administration, has really put forth the idea that not only are we very farsighted, but we provide a real model that the rest of the country needs to follow, that the federal government needs to follow, that other states need to follow, particularly with regard to combating climate change.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful place to live. So tell us, what is the truth behind that portrayal?
Well, California is, in some respects, a wonderful place to live. But the truth behind those claims is that California actually operates something of a free rider economy. Its leadership on these issues is something of a mirage, in large part because it is able to export a number of its problems out of state. Let me address one of the myths we talked about just a second ago. Of particular pride to California is this notion that they've kept per capita energy consumption flat for the last couple of decades, while in the rest of the country it is increased considerably, and that fact is true. But there are reasons for it. It's not because of enlightened government policies. It's not because Californians are better than other states at addressing these questions. The real reason for it is because California has some of the highest energy prices in the country. As a result, Californians use less energy. They use less electricity. That is a case of simple economics. But even more than that, regulatory policies and taxes and extremely high energy costs over the last several decades have had the effect of driving out of the state of California many energy-intensive industries. The manufacturing, heavy manufacturing is becoming close to non-existent in the state of California. Years ago, you would have had many automobile plants in the state of California. They've all moved out. No one makes airplanes, in California now. They move to places like Everett, Washington. But as a result, Californians can claim that we have an economy which is not energy intensive, and that's a good thing. Yet Californians still drive the cars that are made in places like Michigan or throughout the South. They fly in airplanes that are manufactured elsewhere. And they leave other states to deal with the challenges that heavy manufacturing presents, whether it's increased emissions, heavy energy use. And that's well and good for California, but whether that provides any sort of model for the rest of the country is an open question.
Now, in the story, you also say something about importing energy from other states. Could you talk a little about that?
One of the other things California is very proud about is the fact that it prides itself on being a clean energy state. There are no major coal-fired power plants anywhere in California. Coal provides 50% of the electricity that the country on the whole uses, but Californians are very, very proud of the fact they don't have any coal plants in the state. Yet they do use a lot of coal-fired electricity. The dirty little secret about California is that it imports fully 20% of its power from out of state, and a lot of that power comes from coal plants in Utah, in Wyoming, Montana. It imports a large-scale hydropower from the Hoover Dam near Las Vegas, from Washington State. It is a dirty little secret that they get a lot of their power from coal, and that they get a lot of their power from out of state. There's been a campaign over the last several decades, since the early 1970s, against building power plants in California. It's very, very difficult because of NIMBY objections, because of environmental regulations. As a result, California does not have all the power it needs to be self-sufficient. It imports quite a bit. That wouldn't be a problem so much, but as we saw in the early part of this decade, California had real problems because there was not enough power in the state, and there were rolling blackouts in the summer of 2000 and 2001.
Now, one of the quotations that you give in the article from Governor Schwarzenegger talks about how America hasn't been sufficiently a leader when it comes to tackling problems like global warming, so California had to act. There's this idea that California can be a sort of national role model or national leader. Do you see that as at all feasible?
Well, it's not just Governor Schwarzenegger. It's former Governor Jerry Brown, who's now the Attorney General, and it's political leaders up and down the state and business leaders as well. And their claim is that the Bush administration in particular and the federal government more generally has failed to take the lead when it comes to addressing climate change. They cite our failure to enact the Kyoto Protocol, and they say that the steps that California is taking provide a real model. Last year, Governor Schwarzenegger signed a bill, Assembly Bill 32, a very famous bill, better known as the Global Warming Solutions Act, which aims to cut greenhouse gas emissions in California by, I think, 20% by the year 2020, rather to get them to 1990 levels by the year 2020, and to cut them in half by 2050. And that's very ambitious. It is almost certainly unlikely to succeed. And even if it did, it would have a negligible impact on climate change. So it seems to me somewhat the height of folly to say that the rest of the country and the federal government should enact policies modeled on Californians when Californians aren't going to work.
Well, thanks very much, Max. Max's story, again, is called California's Potemkin Environmentalism. It's available at the City Journal website, www.city-journal.org. And Max, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.